This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Let's bring in our good friend. He's on every Friday at this time, and that is Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, it's Don, Michael, and Peter. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing well. All right, so obviously the Brian Flores lawsuit is a big deal. So let me ask you this way. You've been in two positions where you could have hired coaches. And I'm just wondering, were you ever told by ownership, we do not want a minority coach?
Never.
Why do you think there's just one black coach in football then?
It's a great question. And, you know, I'm privileged. You know, one of my current positions is I teach the business of the NFL at Columbia in their master's program. And we studied the Rooney Rule over the last 2 years, guys. And it's a very well-intentioned rule that just simply doesn't work anymore. And I think one area the league could do a better job of is to put a much greater emphasis on the entry-level jobs. And if there was more gender and racial diversity on the entry-level jobs, hopefully over time there would be qualified students, people of coaches, GMs, front office people that would work their way through the ranks. There's obviously a number of qualified candidates as there are now, but clearly this rule doesn't work.
So what do you think can come from this Flores suit? Even if he doesn't necessarily win, Mike, can waking people up to the issue, can something good come from it, even if he's unable to get his pound of flesh from the NFL?
Yeah, Caley, I think he already has. He's brought the conversation back up to the surface. And, you know, it is remarkable to sit here and think that right now, as of today, there's only one African-American head coach in the NFL. It's just unbelievable. Now, with that said, there are still a couple of openings left in the cycle. But clearly, the intention of the Rooney Rule going back two decades was a good one, to bring more people into the interview process, to be more thorough. Something that, you know, be it with Woody Johnson or Steve Ross, you know, I can tell you firsthand, you know, we certainly try to do that. But it is not working. And that's why, to me, look at a more systemic solution, meaning look at it from the beginning, look at it at the entry-level job. So if that is more of an equal and fair playing field from the beginning, guys, hopefully over time people will ascend through the ranks and they'll just be more qualified candidates, because right now it's the system is broken and it needs to be fixed.
You would think, Mike, that there are qualified candidates, and maybe you're one of the fortunate people that have worked for owners that didn't have a strong belief that they didn't want a minority candidate. But, I mean, the sky is blue, Mike. There's got to be a reason why qualified people are not being named head coaches in the NFL. I mean, when the Rooney Rule came into effect, Mike, there were three black coaches. Now there's one 20 years later. So, I mean, you've met the other owners at NFL events. Do you think that this could be something that's in their soul?
I certainly hope not to think that that they're racist. You know, the irony is, you know, when you look at the Steve Ross situation, I worked for Steve for 5 years. You know, this past year he had an African-American head coach, GM, and assistant GM. So, you know, clearly, you know, that situation, ironically, where this came from, you know, Steve had a number of, you know, black people in those jobs. And I think one thing that could help, and I have talked to some executives at the league office and with other teams, is if there was some mechanism where there was informal ways for people to get to know some candidates. And just to name a few, Vance Joseph, I work with in Miami. He had a short stint in Denver, but he's done a great job as a defensive coordinator in Arizona. Todd Bowles certainly deserves another opportunity. Jim Caldwell, someone I've gotten to know over the last couple of years, is beyond reproach. And if there was some sort of, like, mechanism, be it, you know, some sort of, like, informal meetings or conferences where the owners could get to know candidates in an informal way, I think that would help the process. Because I will say, over 20 years being part of, I think, six head coaching searches, sometimes the process is a little stiff and a little formal. And, you know, you're trying to hire a CEO. You're trying to hire, you know, the most important person in your franchise. And it doesn't happen in a three-hour interview. So to me, if those relationships could at least have some foundation before, I think that's just better for everybody involved.
Mike, have you ever heard a practice of paying a coach to lose games?
Never. And like I said, I just, you know, worked for Steve Ross for the 5 years, and he was a very, very competitive guy who hated to lose, gave us every resource to win. So I've never had any experience with that.
I guess, Mike, I'm trying to think of the way to ask this that doesn't put you in a bad spot. But you've been around in a lot of rooms. And let me preface this by saying I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I've never been in a room in any of my professional life where I've heard someone say something that made me feel uncomfortable, that did not jive with the way I see the world through a racial, social, cultural standpoint. Have you ever been in football rooms where you felt sort of culturally, I don't like the tone of this conversation?
No, and again, like at least in my experiences, and I started off as an intern, I've been with four different organizations, you know, 70% of the players are experiences. And again, I started off as an intern. That's the majority of the players. That's the majority of the people that, you know, you dealt with from a, you know, from a player standpoint. So that had not been my experiences working, you know, my way, you know, up through the ranks.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, you know, another charge that Flores has is that the Giants had already decided on Brian Daboll, and it was a sham interview. Now, I don't know what the situation was with the Giants, but I would assume, Mike, that there are teams that have a guy in mind and they want to hire him, but they know they haven't fulfilled the Rooney Rule, and there are interviews that are sham interviews. Do you believe that that could happen?
Yeah, but I don't think that was the case with the Giants, just because I think they had an earnest and authentic interest in Coach Flores. You know, there was a lot of reasons why they would. You know, he's a Brooklyn native. We talked about it on the show. Mm-hmm. He's a Brooklyn native. The Boston College connection with John Mara, his success. The guy's had back-to-back winning seasons. That is really hard to do in the NFL. So, look, as we talked about, the Rooney Rule is flawed. But I think one thing that we are seeing progress is, like, this hiring cycle has slowed down. So I think in the past, you know, there's been, quote-unquote, sometimes there's a little bit of a frenzy where there's this rush to hire somebody, and I don't think that's good. I don't think that's healthy, because owners talk to one another. And, look, if Brian Flores is a finalist for the Giant job and doesn't get it for whatever reason, then hopefully, you know, John Mara is talking to, you know, maybe it's the owner of the Saints or another organization that's still looking for a coach, and that's going to help, because owners influence other owners. So I don't think there was any sort of, like, predisposition in the Giants case. And the reason I'd say that is they took a lot of time before they hired Brian Daboll.
Do you believe that Flores will ever work again in the NFL after this lawsuit?
You know, Mike, he should. Like, he's earned the right. You know, he's won. Again, he's had back-to-back winning season. That's hard to do. Obviously, when you file a lawsuit, that's something that you have to contemplate. But I will say, when it's all said and done, the NFL is the ultimate meritocracy. And, you know, if you're a coach or a player and you can help an organization win, more times than not, you do get, you know, another opportunity. So I'm hopeful that he will. But I'm sure people close to him certainly, you know, made sure that he made this decision in an honest and sober way, knowing that, you know, there's 32 of these jobs on the planet. You just left one. And when you start suing people, you know, that's going to – typically, that's going to diminish your opportunities, you know, despite his track record. So I'm hopeful he does, but obviously, you know, that's something that I'm sure he had to contemplate.
Mike, I want to go back to the championship game Did Cincinnati make adjustments defensively in the second half, or did just something happen to Mahomes and his confidence that completely allowed Cincinnati to steal that game?
You know, I know Lou Anarumo really well. I worked with him in Miami, the defensive coordinator of the Bengals, and they did play more man-to-man in the second half. And they hit on a number of free agents, Chidobe Osawe, Mike Hilton, and Eli Apple, the former Giant corner. So they did a lot of really good things in the second half. They played more man-to-man. Sometimes they dropped eight into coverage. And then Patrick Mahomes missed some throws, guys. So it was a combination of all those things. And I didn't think there was any way that that the Bengals could play man-to-man against the Chiefs and hold up, because I just thought that the Chiefs are just too explosive. And that's the problem when you play someone like the Chiefs. You usually don't have three corners that can match up. But give the Bengals credit, they did, and Mahomes missed a couple of throws, and it was a combination of both those things.
Do you believe that the Rams did the right thing in mortgaging their future only if they win the Super Bowl? If they don't win the Super Bowl, was it worth it to send all those first round draft picks away?
I don't, you know, and I'm a little bit of a traditionalist that way in terms of, you know, football is the ultimate team sport, and, you know, you got to spread the wealth around, and I could be proven wrong, you know, a week from Sunday, guys, but it does also come back to the mental, you know, we're talking a lot about owners on this call, and, you know, their sort of approach is going to test the mental toughness of Stan Kroenke. And here's what I mean by that. Regardless if they win or not, there's going to be some tough days being a Ram fan in the coming years because of all the picks they've given up, the cap, all the salary cap allocation. So to me, whether they win or not, that day of reckoning is going to come. And when it's really, really tough for a year or two, is Stan Kroenke going to be able to hang in there? And that's going to be, to me, whether or not this can ultimately be validated where Sean McVay can come through the other end and maybe have a year or two where it's a real rough patch.
Is there any world, Mike, in which Dan Snyder could have to pay the price for what has happened in Washington? I mean, we know he's denying allegations of his personal involvement, but at the same time, he's also clearly admitting just how awfully toxic the culture was. Is there anything that could happen, or is he's always going to be protected by the other owners?
Yeah, I think the bar is so high. When you really study North American team sports and owners that were forced to sell, you know, Sterling with the Clippers is probably the most recent and notable one. It's so few and far between. Suspension, loss of control for a period of time, I'm sure those things could be on the table if they deem that these are like repeated offenses. But the bar, guys, is so, so high in terms of any sort of like forced sale. And again, the other owners, you know, I'm sure in the back of their minds, you know, no one's perfect. And I'm sure they're thinking like, wow, you know, if this standard ever gets, you know, lowered, then boy, oh boy, does that ever impact me? So I would be very, very surprised if we ever saw that.
All right, final thing. Am I crazy? I know you think I'm crazy, but am I crazy to think that Tom Brady might come back in a year?
Well, that's interesting. I thought you were going to say Cincinnati win the Super Bowl.
No.
And I wouldn't think that's crazy.
You know, we'll ask you that next week.
Ever. Okay. You know, Mike, with Tom, nothing would surprise me. You know, if in a year he woke up and the 49ers needed somebody for four games or something like that, and he was in Northern California, you know, what he's done, he's had a Hall of Fame career over the last 5 years. He's rewritten every record, but more importantly, I think what he's done is he's changed the psyche front office people. And what I mean by that specifically is if you're the Denver Broncos and you had to give up two first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers, it's no longer unprecedented to say, like, wow, he's only going to play 4 years or 5 years because Tom Brady has done it. So not only has Tom Brady broken the mold, but I think he's really recalibrated the way front offices and head coaches are going to look at the shelf life of a great quarterback. So I think what he's done is really remarkable.
And I'll throw in one more thing. Is there a team out there that has a decent team and a chance to make the playoffs that would want Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, you know, there's going to be about 12 teams, guys, that need quarterbacks. And you could put Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Carolina. And I look at that Saint defense, guys. You know, they've matched up very well against Tampa Bay the last 2 years. And if you take a really good defense like the Saints and you add somebody like Garoppolo, who, let's face it, warts and all, got a team to a Super Bowl and a conference championship game, I'm not so sure that that Saint defense, guys, isn't better than the 49er defense. So I'm not saying they go to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo, but, boy, that makes them super competitive.
So there is a market. Mike, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That's Mike Tannenbaum. He joins us every Friday at 5:30. Very interesting stuff from him. When we come back, doesn't seem to be much progress in the baseball talks. We'll say exactly where they are. And then ENN after that. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.